This morning, as I mentioned last week, we're going to take a little bit of a break from the book of Matthew. We've been in the Sermon on the Mount for several weeks now. We just finished up this past Sunday, we finished up anger and lust, looking at verses 21 through verses 30 in chapter 5. And we have a ways to go to get through the Sermon on the Mount, because the Sermon on the Mount is also chapter 6 and chapter 7. So don't think that if you skip the next 2 or 3 weeks or 4 or 6, you're going to get away from the Sermon on the Mount, because you're not. But for the next 2 weeks, today included, we're going to be doing something different. And the reason we're going to do something different is the beginning of the year. And I want us to all refocus ourselves on what the Lord has for the church, meaning universal church, what the Lord has for the body of believers here, and what the Lord has for you individually. So it is covering everything, macro and micro. And today we're going to look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Next week we'll be looking at servanthood, what it means to serve other people. But you can't serve other people until you understand that you're serving them through the Holy Spirit and through the gifts that the Lord has given you, or will give you if you ask for them. If you're like, I don't have a gift yet, you know, Pastor Mike. Yes, you do. You're just not using it yet. All believers have gifts. Now, maybe one. Great. Maybe five. Wow. You know, one's a lot of responsibility. Five is an enormous amount of responsibility. So, with that, we're going to go ahead and jump into the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and turn in your Bible to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And while you're doing that, go ahead and place a marker as well on Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. We don't normally jump around through Scripture. Normally, we dig into a section of Scripture and stay there. You know, when we were going through the Sermon on the Mount, we stayed typically within 21 through 30, the verses 21 through 30, while we were looking at that last Sunday. But we're going to jump around a little bit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is all throughout Scripture, old and new. If you don't have a Bible, just as a reminder, we do have Bibles back here on the table. And I'm very thankful for that, because I left my personal Bible at home. And I was like, oh, that's okay. We have a box of Bibles. So anyway, I'll be fumbling my way through this Bible, because, you know, you have your own Bible. You know exactly where things are. It's like, oh, no, intuitively where that is. I have no idea where this one is. And it's brand new pages, so it's like slick. But we're gonna have a good time going through it. All right, if you've all found that, guys, let's go ahead and dive into prayer before we dive into the Word. Father God, I thank you for this morning, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to be here in your presence, Father God, that we're not just gathered in a building together looking at some words and talking, Lord, but that your Spirit is with us. That your presence is with us. You promise us that wherever two or more are gathered, there you are. And so, Father God, we cling on to that promise, Lord. Father, give us wisdom as we talk about your Spirit. Lord, so many people overlook the Holy Spirit. And Father God, I'm just thankful that this morning we have the opportunity to walk through your Scripture and look at what you have said about the Spirit. Father, give us open minds, open ears, open hearts to hear and receive and change, Father, based on what it is you have to say. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You've all heard it said that necessity is what, guys? The mother of invention, right? And necessity is the mother of invention. And in the early church, they faced some serious needs, didn't they? Well, we've walked through the book of Acts. We saw the needs they had. What were they doing? They were facing persecution. They were facing poverty. They were facing sickness. And they were suffering. I don't know about you guys, those are some pretty serious needs. And the Lord, in his infinite wisdom, provided. He provided for them. He didn't just save them from their problems. He equipped them to face these problems. He gave them the tools, the resources, the supernatural abilities to face these challenges that were going to come before them. They needed this because they probably weren't going to make it without that. So the Lord said, you have a need. I have a resource. I'm giving you that resource. And Jesus promised this resource when he left his disciples. Remember that? He said, I'm going to leave, but one is going to come after me. He's going to be your helper, your comforter. What was he promising? Someone else, another person? No, he was promising the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit didn't just show up and be like, I'll take care of everything. The Holy Spirit showed up and said, I'm going to give you the power so that you can be involved in taking care of these things. Now listen, when some folk hear people say we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, they get kind of nervous. They're like, I don't know all about that. Speaking in tongues, miracles, I don't know, prophecy. It's a little weird to me, Pastor Mike. It's a little weird. I didn't think we were that type of church. Well, we are. Why? Because we follow Scripture. And Scripture talks about miracles. Scripture talks about prophecy. Scripture talks about healing. Scripture talks about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But listen, I can understand someone saying, I don't know how I feel about these things. Why? Because there's a lot of misunderstanding today. A lot of bad teaching today. Some people would say that these gifts are for the past. That they're relics of the past. They're a neat little footnote of the early church. That's not true. They are for us. Repeat that after me. For me. For me, right? They're for me, for you. Today. They weren't just for the disciples or the apostles or the early church. As many people will tell you, they are. The Holy Spirit is alive and active at this very second. Alive and active right now. He's breathing, he's moving, and he's working in and through believers today. Around the world, at this very moment, the Holy Spirit is active. Now turn your attention with me to verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here's what it says. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. I like the way the King James, the New King James Version says it. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. That's what Paul is saying. I don't want you to be ignorant. Ignorant. Strong word. Strong word. But what does it mean? It means without knowledge. Without knowledge is all it means. No understanding. And so Paul here, he's saying, I don't want you to be that. Now listen, Whenever Paul says these words, "I do not want you to be ignorant," he's usually talking about something extremely important. Now, why would I say that? Well, let's look at a couple examples. In 1 Thessalonians 4, here's what Paul says. "I do not want you to be ignorant about the coming of the Lord." Now, what's one of the most debated topics in Christianity? End times. End times are hugely debated. And he says, "I do not want you to be ignorant about the spiritual gifts." And what do we find out? There's a lot of confusion, a lot of misunderstanding about the spiritual gifts. Now, you might ask, and it's a good question, why? Why is there so much misunderstanding? Why is there so much confusion about what would seem to be a pretty straightforward topic? Well, here's the answer, guys. The enemy loves us to be ignorant. He wants us to be afraid of the power of God. He wants us to live a life as believers of mediocrity. He does not want you to go out and use the power of the Holy Spirit. But once you understand what you're dealing with, who you're dealing with, the power you're dealing with, as a believer, you should be like, "Get out of my way. I want that. That's what I want in my life. I want that power." Why? Because we're not called to settle. As believers, we're not called to settle for mediocrity. He's called us, our God, our Lord, our Savior, has called us to experience the fullness of Him. Who here wants to experience the fullness of God or says to themselves, "I'd rather just be mediocre. There is nothing in my life that I've ever said I want to be mediocre at." That may be a weakness, but I always want to make the most of it, to chase after it, to get everything I can out of it. Because it's a short life, guys. And you turn on the news, you see people left and right that are younger than me. I was thinking about this yesterday. It really kind of hit me. I'm like, this guy's this old and this old and this old, and he's dead and she's dead and he's dead and she's dead. And I'm like, this is a short life. This is a short life. Man, I've lived longer than these guys by 10, 15 years. Stop taking it for granted, Mike. Get on the horse. Get out there and do something. Now look at verse 4. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Version here because I kind of like the way they say this. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Now, let's go and read this together. We're going to read 4. We're going to read on down through 11. "Now, there are varieties of gifts." Like I said, I like diversities. "But the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as who wills? He wills." So you can't tell the Lord, "Hey, you know what? I need this gift." The Lord would be like, "Thank you for your input, but according to my will, this is what you're getting." And His will is always better than our will. His plan is always better than our plan. So if He doesn't give you a gift you want, guys, this is a quick side note, don't get upset about it. Say, "Thank you, God. Maybe that gift would have done bad. I'd have done bad things with that gift. Maybe I wouldn't have used it in the way you wanted me to use it. But thank you for this gift. I don't know how you want me to use it, but we're gonna figure this out, Lord. We're gonna, you know, go to it." But He says here, varieties, and I like diversity. But that's the key, right? That's the key. Just like fingerprints, no two of us have exact same gifts. They're not exactly alike, even if you have the same gift. Look, there's a whole bunch of people that teach the Bible, that pastor churches, and they're still using the same gift, but it might be look a little different here and there. Doesn't make it wrong or right, just makes it different. You wouldn't want to go to every church and every pastor taught the exact same way, because what if it's not a type of teaching you like? There'd be no options. There are pastors that teach verse by verse, and there's pastors that teach topical, right? I mean, it's okay. I hear guys who say, man, topical is not the way to teach. Verse by verse is the only way to teach. What? If the Word of God is being taught, and it's being taught appropriately, and the Word is being expounded properly, praise God that the Word is getting out and people are hearing that Word. When I think about the gifts within the body, I like to visualize it sort of like an orchestra, right? I mean, think about an orchestra if it were sitting behind me. What would be there? Be flutes, violins, drums, cello. I love cello. Cello. There'd be all these different instruments, you know, percussions and winds and stringed. And individually, they're doing amazing things, right? Together, they're creating this symphony, right? I mean, you could sit there and I could sit and listen to someone play cello all by itself, but throw in a little bit of violin and a little bit of a flute maybe or something else. I mean, it's amazing what starts coming together. That's the same with our gifts. We start blending all of our gifts together as a body. We do more than what we would be doing on our own. We start serving the body as a whole. The Spirit is going to give each of you, and should have already given each of you, if you've been asking and paying attention to what the Holy Spirit's doing, a unique gift, a unique talent, a unique way to serve the body. Now, if you look there what Paul says in verses 8 through 10, he lays out an incredible list of gifts. We're going to look at the fact that this is not just all of them. Some people go, oh, here's all the gifts. No, this is not all of the gifts. There's other areas. We're going to look at them. But that is an amazing list. You've seen that there? But that's like a broader perspective. We've got those laid out there by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12. But in Romans 12, if you want to turn there, you can. If you marked it, that's great. If not, verses 6 through 8, here is what he says as well. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Good advice. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So not only is he listing out gifts, he's listing out how you should be approaching them. Right? Mercy, you're going to be giving him, you're going to be doing that cheerfully, right? Leading with zeal. But Paul outlines a whole host of ministries and ways to serve within the body. Teaching. That does not limit it to the pastor. Children's ministry, women's ministry, men's ministry, single ministry, married ministry, Thursday night Bible studies. I could go on and on. Small groups at someone's home. Teaching, teaching, teaching. Exhortation. Giving. Do you hear that? Giving. Leading. That doesn't mean giving necessarily just to the body here. Just in general. Just in general. Giving, that doesn't have to be just monetary. Could be time. Time's very valuable. Skills, very valuable. Showing mercy. Do you ever think of that as a gift of the Spirit? I never really think of that when I list gifts of the Spirit, but every time I read Romans and see that, I'm like, I forget that one. And I don't know why, because I love it when I do things wrong and I'm shown mercy. I'm showing grace, and I'm like, thank you, Lord, that is a gift of the Spirit. But it shouldn't surprise me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is merciful. These are all expressions of the gifts of the Spirit, of the personality of the Spirit. Then in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 12, here's what we see. We see how these gifts work together to do what? To edify the body of believers. And here's what he says. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints to do what? To edify themselves? No, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. These are all gifts, guys. They're all gifts. All roles given by the Holy Spirit to build up the church. All of these are roles that are laid out. Each part, each gear, if you're thinking about it like a machinery, each gear plays a crucial role in the success of the body of Christ. The apostles, they were the foundation layers. They laid the foundation stones, right? The groundwork for the church. The prophets, what do? They speak forth the word of God. They do it with power, authority. The evangelists, well, that's a great one. They go out and they share the word of God. They share the good news, the gospel message. And pastors shepherd the flock, guide and nurture the believers. That's their roles. And teachers, and I love this one because it goes outside of the traditional pastor, elder type thing. And I love this. Equip the saints with knowledge and understanding. And it's a gift. And they're all working together to build up the body of Christ. They're not doing anything. None of this. Understand, no gift is for your edification except for possibility of tongues. It's the only one that's even mentioned as being a possible edification for yourself. Now, some people get all hung up on these gifts. Why? Because they want to chase the spectacular. They want to chase the extraordinary. They want the miracles. They want the healings. That's all they're interested in. I'm not really interested in the teaching. I'm not really interested in the mercy. I'm not really interested in faith as a gift, which is an amazing gift. Have you ever met anyone with the gift of faith? Pray that you meet someone that has the gift of faith. Pray that God gives you the gift of faith, because it's amazing. Because those people tend to be forever on fire for the Lord. Now, we've looked at all these gifts, but I want to remind you one last thing. There's one gift that's greater than all of these gifts. One. Maybe I've never heard this. What? One gift? Love. Love is the greatest gift of them all. Jump ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 1. And here's what it says. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I am nothing, he says, without love. Love is the cornerstone of all of these gifts, guys. It has to be. Love is the fruit that makes all the other gifts bear fruit. Love is patient, right? We've heard this. Love is kind, does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no wrongs. Love rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So the gifts are important, but they must always be exercised with love. Look, when we're dealing with non-believers, don't walk up to them and hit them in the head with Scripture and their eternal damnation and how, oh, I can't believe you act like that. You are a heathen. Of course they're heathen. If you're not a believer, what do you expect them to do? How do you expect them to act? How did you act before the Lord grabbed you? How do you sometimes act even now that the Lord has got you? Be loving. Jesus is not a browbeater. He's a lover. He's very direct. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not a guy that's going to be like, well, your truth can be my truth. He's not that guy. But he can hear someone say certain things and go, that's wrong, but let me tell you why it's wrong. And I'm going to do it in a way that expresses that I love you, but I don't agree with you. And I'm trying to tell you the truth so that you will walk in a way which is glorifying to God and will ensure you eternal life. Not because of your works, but because you turn to the Lord. That's why we show love to people. And you know what? I know that's not easy. That is a hard, hard thing to do. Now, lastly, I just want to reemphasize this. These gifts are not for your glory. Not for your glory. Therefore, the lifting up, the building up of the body. And that's why I wanted to talk about them. Until we start embracing the gifts that the Lord has given us and sharing those with the body, this body is going to be hindered in its growth. Now, that doesn't mean that it won't grow some and that some things will happen, but not until we unleash all of the gifts, all of the power that we have here, will we see the growth that God has set out for us. You don't know who your gift is going to impact, how your gift will change the body of believers that are here today, the body of believers that will be here next week or the week after that. Last thing on this real quickly is there are groups of people that believe gifts are only for these super selected Christians. There's only a certain group of people that really have gifts like that, Mike. I've heard that said. You know, pastors, those guys. Well, I don't see that in Scripture anywhere. That is not a scriptural based statement. Look, this is what the Bible says. To each one, a manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Did it say to some? No. To each one, everyone, each of you that are a believer or follower of Jesus Christ have been given a gift. Now, some may seem more obvious than others, right? Some of these gifts might just kind of lie around for a season, either because we're just not aware of it yet or aren't using it yet. But every one of us have been given a unique gift so we can make a unique contribution to the body of believers. Every person that shows up here on a Sunday has a unique purpose. And it's not to show up and sit in a seat and stare at me. There is a purpose, guys. God's a good God, a great God, an amazing God. And he doesn't say something boring like, show up and listen to Mike on Sundays. That's your purpose. That would be horrible. If God told me, hey, I got to show up and listen to someone talk on Sundays, that was my only purpose, I'd be like, what are you talking about? That's horrific. But God says, no, that's not what I have for you. I mean, that's part of it, but that's like not even the good part. The good part's all the gifts I'm giving you, the ability to work within the body, the ability to see me work through you in other people's lives. That's what gets me on fire. And I go, hey, that's awesome, God. I'll take that. The part about listening to the mic, okay, but that's really small. I want the big thing. Give me the big thing. I don't walk into a restaurant where they're serving big steaks and little steaks and say, I'd like one little piece of a steak. I want the big, juicy, hot steak, not the cold little piece. I'm the cold little piece, guys, in case you didn't pick up on that. I'm just the one little thing. The juicy steak is the gift and the ability to work within the body and not just here, but outside of here. In your daily life, your daily walk, everything that you do day in and day out. I just hope you understand and can see my passion for this, guys. I want to see the Lord move in a way that I alone can't do. I can only do it in cooperation, in unity with the other believers and their gifts. I have but one gift that I'm trying to use. I need you guys to be the other gifts that are being used. Some people believe that once the New Testament was over, it was no longer around, right? Have you heard that? Hey, the gifts are not for the modern day. They're not for the New Testament time. And that's not true. In Hebrews 1, I want you just to hear this quickly, then we're going to move on down because I want to close out here because we do have communion. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to our fathers by the presence, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. What does that tell me? God uses a lot of different ways to speak. He doesn't limit himself to like, well, I can only do one thing. He's not a one-horse pony, one-horse show, right? He's got a lot of things going on, right? He speaks to us through his word. We know that. He speaks to us through his spirit. And he speaks to us through his people. His spirit and his people. That's how he talks to us. So the gifts have not gone away. The last on that point, don't be freaked out by the gifts. I've met people that are freaked out by the gifts. Well, what if I start speaking in tongues in the grocery store? What? Our God is a God of order. He's not going to have you doing crazy things like that. He's a God of order. So don't be fearing the gifts. Be anticipating the gifts, wanting the gifts. Years ago, and I was a fanatic for this, years ago there was this magnificent machine. And everyone here, I think, yes, maybe Benjamin. Everyone here would probably have heard of it, but it's called the Space Shuttle. The Space Shuttle. I was obsessed with the Space Shuttle. It was a marvel of engineering, a testament to human ingenuity. But did you know they shut that entire program down? They shut it down. I'm like, why would they do this? I mean, think about what they did. They took a 4.5 million pound machine and launched it into space. 4.5 million pound machine and launched it into space. It's a lot of weight. But how in the world do you take a 4.5 million pound machine and launch it into space? They built a system that created 7 million pounds of thrust to throw it into the air. Just to get it off the ground, it took 7 million pounds of thrust to get it off the ground. Raw, unbridled power is what they had to do. They had to build a system that was just pure power, pure strength. For me, I can wrap my head around that somewhat. But how much power does it take to create the entire universe? Not just get a 4.5 million pound machine off the ground. To create the entire universe. To breathe life into a human soul. To create the galaxies. To use you for his purposes. How much power? How much power, guys? Immense power. That's the kind of power we're talking about here. Our God's power. The Holy Spirit's power. God has power in spades. He doesn't even have to try. Have you thought about that? The amount of power it took to breathe things into existence? It's unfathomable. I have a hard time wrapping my head around getting a big 4.5 million pound thing off the ground. And God said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to breathe in this. I'm going to breathe out that. And it came into existence. He is an all-powerful God. The same God that created the universe is the same God that wants to give you his power. That says, I am going to empower you with my Spirit to do things that bring glory to me. That's the God that we serve. A few months back, we were walking through the book of Acts, and we studied the work, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I know it's been a while, maybe, and maybe you've forgotten, but that God was all-powerful. He was healing people with shadows, sweaty clothes, just walking near people. They were healed. People that never, ever, ever were healed are suddenly healthy. Guys, wrap your head around the fact that that's the Holy Spirit that Jesus has promised to his followers. That's the Holy Spirit in the New Testament and the book of Acts that is still promised to us today. It's not a different Holy Spirit. It's not like the Holy Spirit's gotten tired over the last 2,000 years. Like, oh, I've done enough. I can't do anything else. How about a small miracle like, I don't know, a hot cup of chocolate? No, this is the same Holy Spirit. Never-ending power. Jesus Christ holds the world together, and the moment he decides it's no longer held together, it will not be held together. God decides whether you get a breath or don't get a breath. He allows it or disallows it. He allows your heart to beat or to stop beating. He allows rulers to rise up. That doesn't mean he approves of them, but he allows them to rise up, and he brings them down. And he doesn't just bring them down. He crushes them. He allows kingdoms to rise up. He crushes kingdoms when they don't do what he needs them to do. And through all of that, he protected, even though they may not agree on some levels, he protected a remnant of the Israelites through all of that insanity. Why? Because he's all powerful. I'm repeating this because I want you guys to wrap your head around what I'm offering to you, what I want you to do, and I want you to seek the Lord. Say, Lord, what is the gift you want me to have? What is the gift? And don't just look for your natural gift. That is so easy to do. Well, my natural gift is administration. Very good. That's awesome. God gave you a natural gift of administration. He gave you a natural gift of fixing things. He gave you a natural gift of talking. He gave you a natural gift of singing. And those are beautiful. That doesn't mean it's your spiritual gift. A lot of times what I find is a spiritual gift may touch on those things, but tends to be in areas where you feel inadequate, where you question, why am I the one doing this? Because God says, good, I want you to feel inadequate, because otherwise you'll try to take credit. I want you to look at it and go, and everyone else go, I don't know how that person did that. That's amazing. That's the Holy Spirit. So that God gets the glory. I'm going to close with one last story. There's two guys. They're standing at the base of Niagara Falls. And they're looking at this amazing torrent of water come over the fall. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's loud. It's wet. It's impressive, right? And one's a local, and he looks at it, and he goes, that, my friend, that is the most powerful force on earth. And his friend that was standing next to him, who was a believer, goes, No, sir. The most powerful force in all the universe is the Lord God Jesus. That's the power we want to serve. Not an earthly power, a heavenly power. Now ask yourself as we close here, guys, what is your gift? What is your gift? What are you supposed to be blessing other believers with? And if you don't know your gift, ask God to reveal it to you. Say, Lord, I want to be used by you. Reveal to me that gift. How is it you want me to be a blessing to other believers, to be able to edify, build up your body of believers? Are you ready? Are you ready to use the most powerful force in the universe? Are you ready to use that force? I hope so. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for the Spirit, Lord. I thank you for all the gifts that you pour out on your body, on your believers. We would seek ways to use them that would bring glory and honor to you alone, Father, that they would edify the body as we're called to do. Lord, that we would use them in ways that draw other people, non-believers, to you as well, Father God. Lord, I pray we would do it in a way that is not focused on the extraordinary or the miraculous, Lord, so as to just be a spectacle. But Father, we just pray, and I pray, Lord, that everything about us would just scream you, your Son, your Holy Spirit, your glory, your honor, your majesty, your power, your grace, your mercy. Father God, just give us opportunities to use those gifts that you have given us, to use them in a way, Lord, as I've mentioned many times today, to bring you glory and you alone, Father. Lord, give us opportunities to be lost this week, not because we're better than them, Lord, but because we know the answer, that we know the only answer to the hurting, to the depression, to the anxiety, to the worldly frustrations, is your Son. Father God, it doesn't mean that we're going to not have any problems, Lord. We realize that as long as we live here on this earth, Lord, we will have problems. But Father, it means that we have your peace and we can walk in that peace, Lord. We have your wisdom to face this world when it seems upside down. Father, we love you. We just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, to be in your word, and to lift our voices to praise you, Father God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.